Blog Talk Radio.
Marcus Kane. As I see it, common sense in a world of insanity.
I think maybe the time has come for people to ask themselves what should be a very easy question. And that question is, what is it that you believe in? What is it that really defines you? And I thought on today's show, we would go through a few of these things because I don't know what you believe in. I know we have a wide group of people who listen to this show, and I know maybe many of you agree with me and some of you disagree with me. So let's go through exactly what it is that you believe. And I want you to keep track. And for every one of these things that you believe, please keep track of it. Put a little mark on a piece of paper, whatever you got to do. And at the end, we'll sum this up. First off, do you believe that the flag of the United States of America is truly a sign of division and oppression? When you look at that flag, do you say to yourself, this is a sign of white supremacy? This is a sign of divisiveness, insurrection, and horrible crimes against humanity? Civil rights violations and every horrible thing you can think of. Does it make you want to burn it, tear it down, place a different flag there, as some people have suggested? Because when I look at it, I see a sign of unity. I see a celebration of everything we have in this country that other countries maybe don't have to the extent that we do. I see it as the one thing that unifies us, no matter what our race or religion is. The ideals that someone fought and died, many people, men and women of all races and colors, died so that we can have our diversity, sacrificed so we can have our freedom of speech, gave everything they had so we could feel safe, knowing we are protected. That's what I see when I look at the American flag. So when I fly the flag in my lawn, I do it to show everyone, united we stand, we are all Americans, and we should be proud to be Americans. Because it affords us the best, nothing's perfect, but it affords us the best opportunity to be truly and honestly free. That's what I see. If you see something else, please put a check mark on that piece of paper and keep track. Number two, do you honestly think that white supremacy is the number one problem in the United States of America today? Because I think it is almost non-existent. I don't know of any white supremacists. I've never met one. I've seen some people on television that fit the bill. I've never actually met one. I've never been in contact with anyone who's met one. And from what I'm led to believe, the FBI and some other agencies have disbanded their white supremacy task force because, in their words, not mine, there's just nothing to do. There's so little crime that falls under this, it would be ridiculous to keep paying people to run this group. So at an age when we have biological viruses possibly destroying the world. In an age when we have people who don't believe in freedom of speech, in an age where we have seven-year-olds jumping on trampolines shot dead in their home through gang violence, do you honestly believe white supremacy is the number one problem in this world? Can you honestly justify that? I can't. The next one is this. Do you honestly believe that a child's morals and their outlook on civil matters should be taught to them in a school? Do you honestly believe that your son or daughter should be handed a comic book that teaches them how to masturbate? Do you honestly think your son or daughter should be told by a school teacher and not by a parent, it's okay if you want to be a woman today, Johnny, and it's okay if you want to be a man today, Jane? Is that their place? Is it the teacher's responsibility to raise your child, to instill in your child the beliefs that they will have for the rest of their lives, the values that they will have for the rest of their lives, and the things that they will now come to believe as fact? Or is it their job to simply teach the facts and allow the parents to raise their child as they see fit? Because, see, that's what I think. When I have a child and I send them to school, I want them to be taught facts. And then let them form their own opinion on what they think of those facts. I want my son or daughter to be taught about slavery. I want them to hear the facts about slavery, all the facts, all of the facts, which means that black people own slaves too, which means that in many cases, it didn't really start with the United States of America, slavery. There was slavery all over the world. And I want them to be taught that also we corrected that mistake, and many people of both African-American descent and Caucasian died making sure that mistake was corrected. I don't want them taught that you're still evil. I don't want them taught that you'll never, ever be able to make up for this no matter what you do unless we come up with an exact dollar amount. And then all your sins will be erased, because you have given money to people who never one time were oppressed by anyone, never one time were held a slave by anyone. But you'll hand over money to them, and then they will say you are absolved now of your sin, because that's not your responsibility as a teacher. So if you think that your son or daughter should be taught their morals, should be taught their ideologies, and should basically be raised as your teacher sees fit, then you put a little check mark on that piece of paper. Because I certainly do not. I certainly do not. Now, do you believe that personal responsibility is overrated? Because I believe that personal responsibility is what makes a person actually mature. In other words, if you've decided, well, I'm going to birth or father a child long before I have the emotional stability to raise one, the financial stability to raise one, or the means in any way to raise one, that's your fault. It's not the government's fault. It's not my fault. It's nobody else's fault. That would be your fault. If you decide I'm dropping out of school because I want to pursue a career as a Lord knows what, interpretive dance troupe member, and you fall flat on your face and you have nothing to fall back on but a job flipping burgers, that's your fault. That's not my fault. You made your decision. I believe in personal responsibility. I believe you have to take responsibility for your actions. I believe if your 50 or 60 years old and you say, well, you know what, I squandered all my money in casinos and I gave it to this person and that person and I bought crap that I didn't need and now I don't have any money for the rest of my life. Well, I'm sorry. Why did you do that? That's your fault. Shouldn't you have been saving for the future? Shouldn't you have a little personal responsibility? Do you honestly feel that all of your personal responsibilities should be abdicated to the government? Well, if I make a mistake, the government's there to pick me up. That's what they're there for. Is that what you think they're there for? That would be like me telling you, go to the racetrack and bet on whatever horses you want with my money. If you lose, you're out nothing. It's my money. If you win, I'll give you half. Well, there's no incentive for you to bet on a favorite. There's no incentive for you to say, well, I better be cautious and really think about this. You might as well just pick a name out of a hat. What do you got to lose? So if there's no personal responsibility, if there's never any skin in the game for you, why stay in school? Why bother practicing safe sex? Why bother doing anything? The government will be there to catch you with your safety net when you fall, right? So do you believe that personal responsibility is overrated in this world? The next one is, do you honestly believe that business owners have the moral or legal obligation to either share their profits with their workers or provide you with what you deem a livable working wage? Now, here's where this breaks down, because what I believe is this. I believe a business owner has the right to decide his own rules. I believe a business owner can say, I am only going to offer minimum wage because I believe that the skill required to do the job in which I'm hiring people for is minimal. Thus, they're not going to be rewarded the same as someone who had to undergo college courses for it or take some kind of trade school for it. This is something anyone can do. It's a low-skill job. And because it's a low-skill job, it's not going to come with a huge payoff. This goes back a little bit to personal responsibility, because if you dropped out of school and decided I don't need to further my education, I don't need to learn a trade, I don't need to do any of this stuff, because my mom and dad told me I'm cute and I should be able to walk right into Hollywood and get a job at a movie and nobody wants to hear from you now. That's your fault. Your employer does not guarantee you a good living. Why should he guarantee you a good living? Your employer took all of the risks. He opened a business. He's paying the taxes. He's getting the LLCs. He's buying the materials. He's taking the chance. All you're doing is showing up. And by the way, there's no law that says you have to work for anyone. If someone offers me a job and I believe that the pay is inadequate to the work I have to put in, then I have the right to say, I'm sorry, I will not work for that. And I know what you're saying. There's some people who have no choice, though. Well, why don't they have a choice? Because they didn't graduate high school? Whose fault is that? Because they didn't learn a trade? Whose fault is that? Because they decided it was more important to stay home and play video games or try to be a cowboy or a ballerina? Whose fault is that? There's nothing wrong with wanting your dreams, but then you back it up and you say, well, if I'm not a ballerina, at least I got this to fall back on. If I can't be a cowboy or a rodeo wrangler, I got this to back myself up on. Personal responsibility. You either believe in it or you don't. If you don't believe that personal responsibility is a big thing, then you probably don't believe that business owners have a right to deem their own rules and regulations. So if you believe that someone that says, welcome to Walmart, should earn the same exact amount of money as someone who is caring for your grandmother, bathing her, making sure her medications are on time, making sure her meals are prepared, lifting her into bed, lifting her out of the bed, wiping her butt when she goes to the bathroom. Put a little check mark on that piece of paper. The next one that I'd like to get into is, do you believe perfectly okay for someone to change their gender at will? Do you believe it's perfectly okay for me to wake up tomorrow and say, I feel like a woman? So today I'm a woman, and I'm going to put on a dress, and I'm going to go to a spa, and I'm going to ask to go to the women's area of that spa, and I'm going to disrobe, and I guess I'm going to show my junk to everyone that's in there, including little girls, and that's perfectly okay because I'm a woman, even though I have male genitalia. Because what I believe is this. I believe if you truly and honestly think that you are a woman or think you're a man if you're a woman, then you need to go full force with it. And while you're waiting to go full force with it, you don't impose things on other people. If I really wanted to be a woman and I could not afford the sex change operation right now, then I'm not going into a woman's spa and show my junk to little girls and women who don't want to see it. I'll say, well, that's my problem. Back to personal responsibility again. I'm not comfortable going into the male area, but I don't want to subject the females unduly to this either, so I guess the spa's just out for me until I can get this taken care of. Why is that not a thing? Why would that not be common sense? We have an issue here, folks, where Antifa literally were beating protesters who thought it was outrageous that a man with full male genitalia walked into a woman's spa swinging in the wind in front of little girls and women. So we can put down a little check mark that Antifa is for men exposing themselves, their genitalia, to little girls. So all of you people who are the big Antifa supporters, remember, it's okay according to them. As long as you say you're a woman, boy, there's a real out, huh? How about if I'm a child molester? How about if I'm that? And I say, oh, it's okay. It's okay, I'm taking a bath with a little girl, and I have a male genitalia because I identify as a woman. Oh, why are you touching her? I also identify as a lesbian. I mean, at what point do you realize the absurdity of this? But if you're okay with that, if you think it's just fine to change your gender on a whim, then you put a little check mark on the piece of paper. The next one is, do you believe that the government rules the people? Because I believe the people rule the government. See, I think the government was designed to be the voice of the people. You couldn't have 100,000 people all yelling and screaming at each other about what they want and what they don't want. So we elected representatives, and those representatives were supposed to be the voice of the people. They were supposed to be the people who took the consensus and said, this is what my constituents want. In other words, I'm from New York. If my section of New York voted me as one of their congressmen, and they said, well, we're having a bill on legalizing marijuana. And I said, well, I think it's a terrible idea. But let me see what my constituents say. And 60% of my constituents say, yes, we give it a thumbs up. My job is not to say, too bad, you elected me, and I don't think it's a good idea. My job is to say, I'm the voice of the people. They said yes. So as much as I think it's a mistake, I'm voting yes. That's my job. The government is not here to rule you. The government is also not here for your mother and father, to be your mother and father. The government is here to ensure no one gets in your way as you pursue the American dream. They aren't here to ensure you get it. The government doesn't get to pick winners and losers. The government just is the person who makes sure the playing field is even. Not the outcome, the playing field. Let's take it like a game of Monopoly. There's going to be winners and losers. As long as you don't cheat. If someone, let's make the government, the people who's observing the game and making sure you don't cheat. That's what the government's all about. The government isn't all about, well, now, wait a minute. You already have this whole side of the board. You can't buy these other properties. No, no, no. And they don't even have enough money to buy these other properties, so we're going to give them to them for half price. Well, then you're cheating. You're cheating the game. Because that's not how the game is played. So the government does not get to ensure you equal outcome. They only get to ensure everybody gets the same amount of money at the beginning of the game. Everybody's even at the beginning of the game. Well, we're all even at the beginning of the game, folks. Now, you can argue, well, some people aren't even because they don't get the education where they're at. Why don't they? Why don't they? While you're busy worrying about white supremacy is the number one problem in the world, how about education? How about single-family households? How about the reason why children aren't being given good education? Because they're too busy learning a political ideology and not basic facts that's going to help them in their future. Unless their job is political activist for the left. Then they're doing fine in school. But they're not even being taught the basic fundamentals. When I was in school, the number one thing I realized I had to learn and learn well was the ability to use my words, the ability to read, the ability to comprehend, the ability to understand. English was number one to me. Read everything you can get your hands on. Interpret everything you can. Learn as many words as you can. Understand that you are going to be judged by the way you speak. Nowadays, I wouldn't get that opportunity in most schools. In most schools, they'd be telling me, well, you know, you're a horrible person. You should probably give up your dreams and try to help someone of a minority to achieve theirs because you owe them that. This is ridiculous, folks. But if you truly and honestly believe that the government rules the people, put a little check mark on the piece of paper. Next, do you believe that there is no right to free speech? Or maybe let me make that a little bit simpler for you. Do you believe that speech that you disagree with and find offensive should be censored? Because I don't. You see, I subscribe to a different theory. I think if someone is a nut, if some guy is running against me in an election, and this guy says, I believe that Irish people are inferior. I believe that women should be barefoot pregnant in the kitchen. I believe that X, Y, and Z and UFOs are going to come down from the planet Krypton and eradicate us all, so we have to build a dome over the entire world to prevent it. I'm not going to say, don't let him speak. He's crazy. I'm going to say, speak away, my man, because the more you talk, the more votes I'm going to get because you're insane. No one's going to believe you. You've lost your mind. But that's not what the left do. The left try to shut down any speech. And if I've learned one thing, I've learned when someone tries to shut you up, it's because they fear what you're about to say is true and people will believe it. You don't shut down people who are going to just spew nonsense. Why would you? If you recognize it's nonsense, then certainly most of America would recognize it's nonsense, no? Then why are you trying to shut them down? Probably because it's not nonsense. Probably because they expose your lies, they expose your propaganda, and you say, oh, we can't have this. That might wake some people up. That might be the moral equivalent of they live when they put the sunglasses on, and we can't have that. So if you believe that speech should be censored based upon whether it's offensive to you personally, then you put a check mark on that piece of paper. And last but not least, if you believe that it's perfectly okay for an 8-month, 9-month old, or even someone who's actually born outside the womb to be aborted, put a check mark on a piece of paper. Because what I believe is this. I believe that it's a scientific fact that when a heart beats, that is the sign that life exists. If a heart is beating, it is beating to pump blood, and that means it is beating to keep something alive. There is no other function of a heart. Therefore, if the heart is beating and you stop it from beating, you've killed it. I think that's pretty fundamental. Now, I know there's going to be people who say, but that child at 2 or 3 months couldn't live outside the womb. Correct. Neither could your grandfather who's on oxygen without the oxygen machine. Neither could your uncle who maybe has a pacemaker. Neither could your grandmother who's on high blood pressure medication or on whatever. So should we just let them die? Because they couldn't live on their own outside the womb without help? But even if you believe that abortion is a woman's right, abortion is a choice, let me be more specific. Do you honestly believe at 8 and 9 months that's okay? Do you honestly believe, as they did in Virginia or said they were going to do in Virginia, say we can deliver the child, break its neck, and that's still abortion and that's not murder? That child was living outside the womb. So there goes your argument. It's as simple as that. It's still taking a life. Now, you can say, well, it's not murder. Okay, well, we can argue semantics. It's still taking a life, though. If a police officer shoots a bank robber who's holding a woman hostage, he still took his life. He maybe didn't murder him, but he still took his life. That's undisputable. If you stop a heartbeat, I believe you took a life. Now, you may say it's my right to take a life. Well, that's a whole different argument. But let's not muddy the water and say it's not taking a life. No, it is taking a life, at least in my view. So now take a look back at everything that we've just talked about. And if you had checked yes to more than one of these, it is a very strong possibility, my friend, that you've been brainwashed and by social pressure and peer pressure, because none of these make any sense. None of these are a fact. You can have your opinion, but your opinion doesn't override fact. And if you truly believe more than one of these, and you wrote down yes for more than one of these, you're the problem in this country. You're not part of the solution. You're a major part of the problem. That's half empty and says, I'm not drinking what's left. I hope this has helped because, you know, we are defined by what we believe in and our lives are changed by what we believe in and what we don't. And it's time for you to stop believing the lies and start believing the facts.